Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time again that we can come together. It's the first day of the week. And we know, Father, it was in that day that our Lord who died and was in the grave, He resurrected on this first day of the week. It's a new day. The Sabbath is gone. The old age is gone. A new age has begun, Father, for the people of Israel. And for those, O Lord, that are called even by the name of Gentiles, that they are grafted, Lord, into the family of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. You have made it possible, Lord, for us Gentiles to receive these oracles, to receive this gospel, to receive your grace and your mercy. And we thank you, Father, that this day that we can gather together was the day of Christ's resurrection, beginning a new life for those who will call upon thy name, for those who recognize, Lord, that they are but sinners and need a Savior. Thy word say that you love the world and you give us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, it is hard for many to comprehend what the gospel is about. Father, because Satan has blinded the eyes of many. But Lord, we know your grace and your mercy will reach out abundantly, O Lord, for those souls who desire peace in your heart, who's looking for that answer, Lord, about life. Why this existing of the universe, the earth, mankind, animals, flowers, insects, and what is the purpose of us being born? And after a while, death took a toll on us, sickness took a toll, and then we die of old age or whatever disease we may have. And what then is the meaning of life? This has been questioned, O Lord. These are questions that have been asked by those that are seeking for an answer. We know, Lord, you love everyone. But Lord, we know that you ask us also to repent from our sin, Lord. So we pray, Father, this morning as we come before you, even as a people who knows you and as those that who are yet to come to receive you and understand, we pray, Father, you open our hearts, O Lord, to understand your precious word of life. And so now, Father, as we gather, bless this time, O Lord, and ask that, Lord, you anoint thy word and the heart that hears, Father, and the spirit to receive. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week I have compacted a lot of detail into an hour and a half. But today we're just going to continue straight from there. Let's go to the book of Genesis. And chapter 25. Now the span of time from Adam to Abraham, or to Abraham when he was called, was about 2,000 years. 2,000 years to us is a long time when we consider time. But during those 2,000 years period, God dealt with individual. He dealt with Adam, dealt with the patriarch, and then he dealt with individual men like Noah when he called. And over the flood, he dealt with Shem, and then down the line, he selected Abraham. Now Abraham was the beginning of a people. The God was then bringing forth through whom that he could give his word. And the Bible called it the oracles of God. And we know that the book that you hold in your hand, we call it the Bible. You have two parts to it, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, it's so called a New Testament because the Bible talks about the first testament or the first covenant which he made with Abraham. And later on, through his people, then God gave the law, which of course contains the oracles of God and things that God wants them to know that pertains to what was to come later on. And of course, when God deals with the people, we must understand, mankind already was born in sin. And because of the carnality that is in human being, tendency of man is towards evil and wickedness rather than good. Already I said this many times. Man was born basically bad, not basically good. But it is civilization that forces people to behave. Now it is this reason of carnality that we find written in the Bible, that you can see men whom God called, a people whom God called, like the nation of Israel, they commit mistakes after mistake. They rebel against God time and time again. And God in His mercy will send them prophet after prophet. And when each time when God sent His prophet, they will rather stone them to death. You see, people find hard to face the truth. Today we have a lot of people, and we have people that have a lot of opinion. Now maybe I ask you this question, which I find a little strange. Recently somebody tried to convince me about the earth. If I ask you today, is our earth, the planet, a round ball? Or is it like some ancient tradition in China where the earth is a disc sitting on top of a turtle? You know? And in ancient Greece, what do you have? They have a man called Atlas who carried the world, the planet Earth. Right? So what do you think it is? The world, is the earth a round ball or is it a disc? Like a coin. Now we have a lot of interesting things that is happening on around the world. People are putting out the theory that the earth is flat, not a round ball. It's a disc. It's a flat earth, completely flat. And there are Christians that believe in it and try to prove it from the scripture, give all kinds of reasons. Very interesting theory. And they try to prove it very convincingly. It was one time when they even tried to prove that the earth does not revolve around the sun. It is the sun that revolves around the earth. And the earth is the center of the universe. And they said that man never landed on the moon. And all the photographs you see that NASA put out about the earth being round, they're all CGI or Photoshop. Interestingly today, because of what we have around the world, people have access to the internet and people post all kinds of things on the internet, on the YouTube, the Twitter, the Facebook, and what you have. And so all these news are out there. Are they real or are they fake? So they come to the time when we are living in this world. Like I told people, knowledge will increase, as the Bible said. And true enough, knowledge increased. And the Bible tells us that with the knowledge increase, there will be an increase of sins and wickedness of people. And this is what we are seeing. Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew warned the disciples about what's going to be at the end of the world, before the system of the world will close up and Christ will rule. And that was already, that all those signs were given by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And even other prophecies that were given back 4,000 years ago pertaining to our days. Kind of hard, right? True prophecy, even back in the, I can't remember what century it was, the 5th or 16th century. A prophetess in England by the name of Shipton. She prophesied about the present world in the 20th century. It says even the metal will float. Another prophecy. You know metal will float? Can metal float? No. You look at the ship out there, they make of metal, they float. And you know the thing is that there are prophecy that is true, there are prophecy that is fake, there are fake news and true news. So we are living in a world that is very confusing. That is true, isn't it? So when we look into the Word of God, we want to look into the Word of God with discernment. We want to really understand it the way that God intends for us to understand. And we need to go back to the beginning to understand the beginning of the whole universe, the earth, and mankind, and the purpose of God. So it was God's will that He created what He created. And like the Bible said, God said, I'm the potter, you are the clay. Can a clay tell the potter and ask the potter, why do you make me like this? We can't. If you know what it means by this type and shadow, I mean by the figure of speech. If you are a potter, a real potter, you have command over the clay. And you have command over a piece of clay and what shape you want to make out of that clay. Whether you want to make it into a bowl or a saucer or a vase, it's up to you. Right? And so the clay has no control. And until it is made, then the bowl serves a purpose. The vase serves a purpose. And so we are created for a purpose. So what is the purpose of your life and my life? I've discussed with many people who are wanting to know an answer. You're born out into this world crying out when you leave your mother's womb, yelling your head off as a baby. Your mother have to pamper you, breastfeed you, change your diapers and raise you up. Then you go to school. Then after that, you know, you find a work and you find a girlfriend and then make a head of wife and be your own family. And then you grow old from two legs. You know, you're born with four legs, right? As the reader used to say, what am I? I begin my life with four legs, then two legs, then after that, three legs. You know what that is? You're a baby on crawling on four, and then you grow up to be walking on 2 feet. Then when you're old, you need a walking cane, so you become 3 feet. And then after that, you die. So is that the purpose of life? And of course, like many people say, we are all like animals. Just die and we disappear. No more. And the Creator have no purpose for us then. You see. So in this book that we have so far learned, in the book of Genesis, by the time when God called Abraham to leave his hometown, to leave his own country. Now God had a purpose for them because already in that time, the people became what we call so mixed up that Though they know the one true God, Yahweh, yet they will worship this one true God with their own imagination how he looked like. So they will create images and worship him. And that's the reason why later on when God dealt with the children of Israel, he told them, thou, in one of the commandments, thou shalt not make thyself graven image. Thou shalt have no images before me. And you know, there was this YouTube, this fellow, Christian fellow in America, you know, he wanted to get, to wake up the Catholic from this problem of image worshipping. And he used to ask all these Catholic, what is the second commandment? He asked them, you are Catholic. He said, yeah, I'm a Catholic. So what is the second commandment? They don't even know the second commandment. The second commandment, thou shalt not have graven images before me. And yet there were graven images. Mother Mary, they worshiped the saints, an altar with a picture of Mother, the Sacred Heart. They already broke the commandment and they don't realize it. That's the reason why God wants the children of Israel to realize this. And when it comes over into the New Testament, when Christ established the New Testament, the same thing. All this old thing must be abolished because Christ already fulfilled it. We don't have to go and take those laws, take those festivals and do it on a regular basis like the children of Israel do. Like the keeping of the Sabbath. Like the offering of sacrifices. Slay an animal and offer it as a burnt offering. All these were fulfilled by Christ Jesus. He came and he said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So when he fulfilled it, that's why we as Christians, we do not have all this old law to practice. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And he that worship God in spirit and in truth. Not a set of laws. That's what we Christians are not guided by laws. Can I do this? Can I do that? We are guided by the Spirit. That is the Spirit of God that speaks to us. There are certain things that, as the Bible tells us, don't go to places where even the angels fear to tread. You know. And we don't tempt the Lord our God. You know, people are covetous. Why do people go to, why are people so taken up with the money? There are people that just need to go to the casino and hopefully that the $100 they have in their pocket may produce them $1,000 or $10,000. That's covetousness. That's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of carnality. And so when we come to this New Testament, we realize that God being a spirit, he deal with us in our spirit. He will guide us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So when he began to do this work back then, he called this man Abraham to come out from his own country where people are all paganistic, so to speak. They're idol worshippers. And yet they will use the name of God on those idols. And God told him, select him, and says, you come up from your people. And I will make you a nation, a father of nations. Come down to a place that I will give it to you. And you know, one more interesting thing I want to let you know is this Bible, I did you hold in hand. It is said to say that many Christians don't know the Bible. Actually, they don't read the Bible, they don't know what it actually teaches. Because the church don't teach them. Just give them a little pet sermon of 30 minutes or 40 minutes and shake their hand and everybody go home feeling good. That's what I call religion. Religiousness. Like people who go to the temple, a Chinese temple, a Buddhist temple, whatever, and pay obeisance to their deities. But I want to say this. If God is real, if God is alive, and you have contact this God, there are many gods, as the Bible says, not that there are many gods, but there is only one. You know, when you really have many gods, like in mythology, in Chinese mythology, there are so many gods, in Indian, in Hinduism, for those who are Indian, you will know that. I was in India, I know, because those people there told us that there are many gods, and in fact, one of them said there was supposed to be about 5 million gods or something like that. I said, what? Are you sure? I said, yeah, they believe a lot of things, so you can probably give this big figure. But I think that's more exaggeration. But one thing for sure, when you have many gods in any religion, they cook up somebody, you know, bring out this religion. You'll find that their gods always are fighting. Even in the Greek mythology, Thor, Jupiter, Apollo, right? They fight among themselves. Zeus was going after his son even, and things like that, and all these strange mythological things that they have. And back in the ancient days too, back in the day of where Abraham was living, they even have a religion that actually Catholicism was traced back to. And that was the religion of Nimrod, the one who built the Tower of Babel. Right. And after Nimrod died, you know, after his Nimrod's father died, he married his mother. And so you have mother and child. So in Nimrod, after he died, the mother said that Nimrod had become God. So if Nimrod was God, then she being the mother must be the mother of God. That's how trace your religion, where it comes from. Roman Catholicism is traced back to that. And many of the religions in the world where there is a deity that is a woman is traced back to that. Like in Chinese, you know, what we call the Goddess of Mercy. Go back to the Greece, Esther. Go back. Religion has a starting point. True religion and fake religion started where? Just outside the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve had sinned, they were chased out of the Garden of Eden and they lived outside the garden. Time came for Cain and Abel to sacrifice an offering to God, to worship God. So Cain offered an offering that was not correct. Abel offered an offering that was what God wanted. Cain and Abel were raised up. They were raised up under the roof of Adam. Growing up until they become mature enough to give their own offering. And yet Cain will become so rebellious. He became rebellious to such an extent that he thinks nothing of what God desired. And when God rejected his offering, he was so upset that he went and killed Abel. And after he committed the first act of killing, that's the first murder ever recorded in the Bible. Later on, when God approached him and says, Cain, where is your brother? He threw his temper at God. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I going to tell you this? Yes, we are our brother's keeper. Especially when you are an elder. I want to show you something significant. The Bible recorded for us to understand. Cain was the firstborn, but he was not the son of Adam. He was the son of the serpent. His mother was Eve. Abel was the son of Adam, whose mother was also Eve. Eve was Abel's mother. They came from the same garden. The garden of Eve. Remember, I showed you this, what the Bible used, probably language. Probably a language, figure of speech. And King Solomon said, I have come to my garden, my spouse, and taste of her fruit, of the fruit in my garden. That's all about love making. So in the garden of Eve came forth two different seeds, two different plants. One was the serpent seed, the other was Adam's seed. But look at the rebellion of Cain. After killing Adam, after killing Abel, when God asked him, where is Abel your brother? He buried Abel in the ground, thinking that nobody is watching. Of course, there was nobody watching. Adam was not there. Eve was not there. Only him alone. So now there were left only three beings on the earth. Abel was gone and died. Abel, when God called Cain, Cain, where is Abel your brother? He threw his temper and God says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Every one of us are our brother's keeper. Huh? See, he lied to God. I don't know. See, commit the lie. See, what we have? In the garden, fornication took place, murder came, lie came. One after another when sin entered. But God knows that it will happen. And when I always tell people that God knows why, then they ask the question, why did God allow it? So that we have all this trouble. Well, God allow it so that you will ask this foolish question. If this doesn't happen, you won't ask this question. Cain was the firstborn. I want you to know that. I want you to keep this in mind. Then Adam came down. And the seed of Cain, later on one of them, took two women to wife. Now we have polygamy in the other way. A man with two wives, a male with two female. In the garden was two female. I mean one male, two male. Fine. Everything was messed up. The Canaan, the Sodomite man. Oh, they look at the Canaan woman, so beautiful. They wanted to marry them. So marry them. And they brought about giants and wicked people. God does not want this to be. But God knows it will be. And God allows it. For the purpose that he had something already planned before the foundation of the world. For the people. Because this world we live in, as I said, is just a three-dimensional world. There's something far better than this. So, now, when the two lines began to mix, what happened? Today, every one of us are mixed. Now, I want to know something here. I told you the other day that there are supposed to be cases where a male gives birth to a male. It happened in Himalaya, someplace in the Himalaya mountain, in the village. And I went and Googled it yesterday to find out where else. And we found it also in America. And interestingly, even Sunday said, when the news broke out, the people wondering, how can it be the male give birth to a male? Because the male is sterile. A male male and a female male can never come together and produce a male. But it interested the Japanese scientists that they went on the team with the camera crew to film this documentary. They saw the male. Like it was out there in America. The male was there, the mother male was there, and the little cow was there. And the scientists said, look, yeah, they examined the male. Yeah, it's a real male. Then later on they asked, if the mule, if this mother mule was not here in the hut, why do you let this mule go? Why, what activities does this mule have during the daytime? The scientist asked the farmer. Oh, we let her roam around in the mountainside, you know, the hillside, among the horses, among the donkeys. When I heard that, I said, that's your answer. And the scientist said, okay, now we understand. We are getting somewhere. And he found that true enough, it's not a male mule and a female mule that produce a mule. Do you know why the mule cannot produce a mule? Because this is an hybrid. When you cross two strains, it is forbidden by God. The seed dies. A horse has 64. I want you to know that, huh? A horse has 64 chromosomes. And a donkey has 62 chromosomes. We and you and I, we have 46. Right? Got it? Now, when the mule came out from a horse and a donkey, how many chromosomes does this mule have? The horse has 64. The donkey has 62. You have to give half to your child, right? Yeah. 32 from the horse. How many from the donkey? 60. How many? You got 60, it's 31. Correct. And it's 31. So when you put that together, how many do you have in the meal? Huh? 60? 60? 3. And a 63 chromosome, how do you give it out? How? To your little one. You cannot. You cannot divide because it's an odd number. But somehow, miracle or miracle, the only possibility could be is from a horse and a donkey that pass it to this mule. Somehow, the scientist said, it's a very, very, very slim chance for that mule to get pregnant by a horse and a donkey. But not possible from a mule to a mule. So you see, one thing the Bible tells us, God said, let everything bring forth its own kind. Anything else is going to cause death. Now, the Bible God gave us, the God, does you know what God dealt with the man called Abraham? Call him out from the country. Leave all these things. They cannot worship me and bow down to idol. They cannot worship me with an image before me. Do you see that? So, Abraham left, came down the land of Canaan, which were infested by all these Canaanite giants. God says, I'm going to give you this land. But first of all, you need to understand that your descendant will suffer. Well, that's a lot of things that we don't like here. It's the word suffering, pain, affliction. Nobody likes it. But I think one reason why affliction came upon us is to make us better people. I want to say this. You probably have heard how many people who are rich give up their wealth to become poor and live among the local people and help them. Look at Dr. Livingstone. American doctors earn good money. Give it all up. And where do you go? He went to Rhodesia. Back then, it was called Rhodesia. Today, he split that up into two. Zambia and Zimbabwe. Back then, he left his own country. I think it was England, that's right. And went all the way to serve the people. Right? So you see this, when people are in a state where they have a wealth, all this, nobody think much. But if you really want to know what love is, what mercy is, you want to feel the suffering of people, you need to know what suffering is. If you don't suffer, you will not know. You know, just as we Chinese used to say, only Chinese, I think you might know, when Chinese used to say the jiakou. You know what I mean by jiakou? Eat bitter. If you have not been through bitterness of life, you will not know what life really is. And so we have the young people today, many of them doesn't think much. They have everything today, the iPad, iPhone, and whatever. But God called this man Abraham now, and he dealt with Abraham. So when Abraham came down, he promised Abraham that he would have a seed, and from that he would have a people. And so it was that God gave him a seed and gave him a son called Isaac. Mind you again, before, when the promise was given to Abraham, God was still testing Abraham. Abraham was 70 years old when God called him. And then God called him a second time when he was 75 years old. That's when he left after his father died. The city where he lived was Haran, like in Mesopotamia. He came down. 25 years later, then the son was given to him. Wow, that's a long time. But before that, the wife could not wait and desire to carry the baby. You see, the wife was not even in have a relationship with Yahweh at all. She didn't have a relationship with God. She was not a believer because God was just dealing with that one man. So the wife pressed him. After 12 years of waiting, when they left Haran to take the born woman, her maid, to wife or a concubine and produce Ishmael. So Ishmael became the firstborn of Abraham. But he was not the seed that God promised. God told him, the seed that I promise you will be through your wife. And Abraham had to wait another, or 12 years later, before Isaac was born. But see what happened. Ishmael was a firstborn, just like Cain. And Ishmael was a war man, just like Cain. You know, so when we look at God's promise, we need to have patience and wait for God to give us what He wants to give us. But when we rush into it, we get ourselves into trouble. As I said this before, your life and my life, we make choices every day. Right? God always gives you the freedom to choose. He doesn't force on you His will. That's why Jesus can talk to the disciples how to pray. He said, Father in heaven, thy will be done. As it is in heaven, so it be on earth. Thy will be done, not my will be done. But God will never force His will upon you and me. And so when we make a choice, we make sure that it's in the will of God, not your own will. Because if we make the wrong choice, if we choose what we want, then we face the consequences. Just like Abraham had to face the sorrow, the pain, after seeing Ishmael go the way he was going. That he would be a war man. It was Abraham's blood too. But Sarah said, get him out of my sight. The seed is not heir with the shock. That is not a real seed. That is a shock. So I don't want him around my son, Isaac. And today, we see the Ishmaelites, the Arabic people, part of which, of course, came also from Esau. And see how much they hated Israel. How many of these Arabic nations? Some of them are so fanatic that they want to destroy Israel completely. And Israel, a small nation surrounded by all these 12 big nations around them, could not destroy Israel. Because God promised Israel, I fight for you. Go look into the World War 1 and 2 in Israel. Look at the other Turk, the war that was there. Look at the 6 Days War. And look at all the war that were fought there. Israel survived. A country that was nothing blossomed into a very fertile land, just as God promised. So when Isaac was born, then God gave him a wife from back where he was. Abraham told his servant, don't you take my son back. Because when we left the land of tradition, we are not going back. But you go and get a wife from my village, from my town, from my kindred people. Nobody else. Now in those days you can marry your cousin. Like early on you can marry your own sister. Until the jinn has become so bad, by the time the law was given, it is forbidden that you married someone close to you because of genetic issue. You know. And how did Moses, when he gave the law, was he the one who gave the law? No, he wasn't the one who gave the law. Because nobody knows how come that you cannot marry your own sister as it was before. How come you cannot even marry the cousin or the nephew as it was before? Because God knew that it's going to happen, that the gene is going to get so bad till that the child can become deformed or died. You know. So, after Isaac had Rebecca. So now we are in chapter 25. And we read over in verse 19 now. And these are the generation of Isaac. Genesis 25 verse 19. And these are the generation of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Betuah, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I cursed? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So now, Rebecca was married to Isaac, but she was barren. Just like Sarah was barren. But the Lord promised to open up her womb. But here, the same thing. Rebecca was barren. Rebecca was a young lady in the 20s. So Isaac prayed to the Lord to open up the womb. And she conceived. And now in the womb there were two babies struggling, fighting in there. And the Lord, verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other. And the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. And his brother took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. It took 20 years before God opened her the womb of his wife. Married at 40, right? At 60 then, Isaac became a father. But interestingly, when the first child came out, the Bible described him as being red in color and hairy. And as he came out from the head out and then followed by the leg, the second one came out grabbing the first one's foot. And he called him Jacob. Jacob is a word, a name. Very interestingly, huh? Jacob. Of course, we call it Jacob. That's an English translation for the Hebrew word. And if we want to go to the Greek word or another name, today modern name, for Jacob, it would be James in English. And if you are a Spanish, you will call him San Diego. It's the same name. Strange. That's a name that, you know, depends on what you call. Alright, so now the thing is that the name Jacob, they call him Jacob was because the name signify or it means a supplanter. Now, Jacob truly was a supplanter. But he was not always a deceiver. So that's a lot of difference between the one who is supplant and one who deceives. A supplanter is one who takes advantage of another or seize the opportunity. But a deceiver will deception of lies and falsehood. So that's the difference. Jacob was called a supplanter, but he was also a deceiver later at times. You know. And the boys, verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. So, two different boys from the same womb now. Like I said earlier on, what you see in a garden, two male, one female. The garden sprout two seeds, seed of the serpent, seed of Adam. The seed of the serpent, the firstborn, killed Abel. Right. Here we see what we see early on in Abraham. One male, two female. Right? Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael make fun of Isaac. Look down upon Isaac. Ridicule him. Big brother. Ishmael was the big brother. Like Cain was the big brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Ishmael was a big brother. Torn Isaac. Was a war man. And what happened to the war as you see today? The Arabic always the bigger nations of people trying to get a battle of Israel. Right. And now it is one man, one woman. But the garden produces still two. Right? One Esau, one Jacob. From the same father, from the same mother. But what is it telling us now? Now you heard about black sheep. A family may have six children, six sons. All of them may be black sheep. Right? All of them could be black sheep. All of them could be white sheep. Or one of them could be a black sheep, or two of them could be a black sheep. What is it so? Why is it so? Now, we know that when we grow up, we all have our own lifestyles. A family of children, when they grow up, each one will choose their own path. Right? We make our own choice. My son grew up, he made his choice to do whatever he wants. My daughter the same. And same would be you when you are growing up among your own father's family. And society will dictate our behavior. Situation will dictate our behavior. It is how we choose and make the choice of what is right What's wrong? What's good? What's bad? How about Esau? Jacob from the same time. But the Bible here foretells what was to be when God spoke to Rebecca. Esau was the firstborn. But watch, when the children were being delivered, the midwife was there, Jacob was there, when they saw what happened, they named the son, the second one, the red one, the first one called the Carlos Ren. But they named the second one Supplanter. And the Bible tells us further here that Esau was a cunning hunter. Like who? Like Ishmael. And Jacob, a mama's boy, very homely, plain man. But Bible says he was a plain man dwelling in tent. Very homely. Okay. Now, something is happening here. The Bible already prophesied. The Lord already said to her, Jacob knew what was happening. Isaac knew what was happening. What's going to be? But what the Bible said? Verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. You see, the weakness of this man called Isaac. Huh? All because he loved venison. You know what venison is, everybody? I love venison. Because he was a hunter. Esau was a hunter. Went out there killing, shooting deers and bring back deer meat and cook such wonderful dish and give it to his father. The mother, of course, eat them. Jacob also eat them. But the father, Isaac, has this taste for venison. Like someone asked, taste, desire to taste for sushimi, sashimi. What would be? Someone asked, love Kentucky, fried chicken. You know, we have a certain taste, we crave for it. And this was what happened. Isaac loved this venison. Love what Esau gave to him. So much so, of course, favoritism comes in. Right? Right? So it drives him to love Esau more. Every time when Esau comes by, he says, any medicine for me? He looked upon Esau with favor than on Jacob. He had completely forgotten what God said. The elder shall serve the younger. No more the elder to be served by the younger. You know, this is all there. And the Bible said, Rebecca loved Jacob. So one day, verse 29, and Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Not a good name, Edom. Just red. He red in the face, perhaps also. He came back from hunting, but he got nothing. The reason was there was a famine already going on. So when there is a famine or when there is a drought, usually famine starts with droughts. When there is dryness and there is no water, no rain, you know, you go out hunting, what do you expect to hunt? All the animal will be gone. Why? They'll be looking for water, right? Animal has a sense to look for water. Particularly some animal can smell water, huh? And they'll follow where water exists. So when he came by, he didn't get any animal. Perhaps he'd been out there for some days and he came by, didn't eat much, and he was very tired, you know, red in the face perhaps. And And what did Jacob's soft pottage? You know, this pottage soft, to me, it's a porridge. But I think that he, what he was boiling was also something red. Maybe red beans, and gao teng, hong tao tong, Chinese word. Red bean soup, yeah, red bean soup. Azuke. No, so, I mean, that's the simple thing, you know? That, you know, Jacob was a simple man. No fancy food for him. You know? Porridge is just porridge. Just boil in the porridge in a pot and then just scoop in a soup and just and drink it. Not like you go to the restaurant where they serve you 5-course dinner, each plate comes out very beautiful, well decorated, just a little piece of thing there, but all decorated with design, you know. Now here, there's nothing fancy about Jacob. Jacob. And like his father Isaac and his father before him, grandfather, they all lived in tents, so he was a simple person. But you see, this problem with Esau came by, he was so tired, so weak, and when he saw that bowl of pottage, oh my, that looks delicious. It's not red meat. No red venison meat. It was just perhaps red, as I said, red bean soup and some cereal that was there. But, you know, he just longed for it. You know, we are living in Singapore. We have everything here in Singapore. Anytime you feel hungry, just get down from your apartment, walk a few, maybe 100 meters, and you find a 7-Eleven or a food court, food store, right? Yes or no? You can just buy anything and eat it. But I don't know what happened if the day comes that Singapore is such a bad shape. Not that it will be in that way, but what happens if suddenly everything is gone and food is scarce? Huh? Just what's up there in Somalia and Yemen, in Sudan, in Ivory Coast, in Liberia, people are rushing. Whatever little food, people throw away something, they will eat it. And I even saw a documentary about the Philippines in Manila, the poor people. You know how the fast food closed down. You know, and they have all these leftover, you know, in the fast food joint like McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, people eat half and then they just leave on a plate and they go and they start to clear them and throw into the trash bin. When the shops are closed, the trash bin is taken and put outside of the shop for clearing. And these poor people will come scavenging, took up half eaten Kentucky Fried Chicken, or the patties that's half it left over. They will collect this and went home, they will go home, and then they will just recook it over fire or something and eat it. That's what happened. And here we are. We have everything. And young people in Singapore today have not realized what my generation have gone through. Yes. You know. We survived. So we should be grateful. So here he was. Now, oh my. Esau. Remember, he was the firstborn. He had the birthright. Now I want you to, perhaps we don't think much about birthright today. But the Eastern concept has always been that the firstborn gets the inheritance. Everything that belongs to the father belongs automatically to the firstborn. And he will share with whoever he wants to. It just comes directly down to the firstborn. Not today. When a man is going to die, he writes the will. He has 7 children, 4 daughters. The firstborn gets so many percent, the secondborn so many percent, right? To divide whoever he likes. You know. And so would the Lord take over if there was no will. You could divide it. But in those days, the firstborn automatically gets everything that belongs to the father. But what happened right here? Esau was so in a dire state for food that he said to Jacob. He said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you. For the same red pottage. Oh yeah, it's red pottage all right here. For I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Wow. Now here's where Jacob was a supplanter, you know. Seize the opportunity. Think about it. Do you know there is one person who is the firstborn who had the birthright and he shared it with us? Who's that? Jesus. He was the firstborn among many children of God. Right? And he gave his life up and he said, unless a grain of seed die, it will not bring forth much fruit. That's why he said, I go lay down my life and I'll pick it up and I'll give it to you. So he died. As you know what, a corn of wheat must die, or else it just remain a corn of wheat. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit, many seeds after it. And Jesus Christ was the one seed, the only begotten Son of God. And by him coined the firstborn, because after him came every one of us who believed in God. But he so despised the birthright. He completely despised it, and Jacob said, no, you sell it to me and you can have it. You can eat as much as you want. See that? And know what Esau said. Now, I want you to know that man despises birthright. Look at what he said. Esau said, I am at the point to die. What profit, what good shall this birthright do to me? Wow. You know, I believe that Jacob knew that, you know, Jacob all the time wants, I guess his mother, Rebecca must, because she loves him, must have told him about the prophecy. Huh? The elders shall serve you. Esau will serve you. And because Jacob was the second born, he knows that he doesn't have the birthright. So he has to do something. Wait for the day, opportunity, now is time. Oh, there was a famine here, now drought. Okay, now let me take the opportunity. Knowing that every day Esau, that went out hunting, after a few days he would come back in this direction, back to the home. So he didn't want to cook in his kitchen, perhaps. He bring out his pots and pans and cook over a fire in the path where Esau would come back to the home. So the first thing that Esau see will be the pottage. And Esau, what profit shall you do to me? Now every one of us are given this birthright that was given to us by Jesus Christ. Huh? So don't despise your birthright. The day will come if you go through a state where, like many countries now, where extremists, terrorists are killing Christians. Take them out. Are you a Christian? If you are, your throat will be slit. What are you going to do? You want to sell your birthright? No, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Muslim, like you. I want to join the ISIS, like you. Perhaps. So what is it? Will you sell a birthright? In the dark ages, when the Roman Catholic Church ruled the world, the Holy Roman Empire, as they call it, you know how evil religion can be? Yes. They call themselves Christian, but they are Catholic. They said they love the Bible, they believe in the Bible. But no, not at all. Study the history. 68 million people were put to death during the 1,000 years of the Dark Age. The Dark Age was about 500 plus some hundred years old. But then it continued to other countries. They were still under control at the Catholic Church. If you don't bow down to the Pope, you die. I said on Friday, I watched this movie called Pilgrimage. It's all about a stone. You know, religious relic. People call it heritage. But there are a lot of nonsense in many of these things. It serves no purpose. This movie, Pilgrimage, was about some crusader, some Norman people, and some monk. All about a stone that was supposed to be used to kill Matthias. The one whom, on the day of Pentecost, after Pentecost, that they selected. Remember? Between Barnabas and Matthias. So they believe that this stone, that this group of heretics, as they would call it, killed Matthias. And there's some power in it. So that stone was kept in a golden, in a box. And under protection by some monk. But the Pope wondered. So he sent a man all the way down. I can't remember what country it is in Europe. And then the King of England also wondered. Political, religious. They all want that stone. So they all sent the army and the men down to take it. So they were fighting and all this. And here was a young man who think that that stone was so sacred, was real, had magical power. So he was protecting it. And many of the men were slaughtered by the king's men. And the group of crusaders that came from the Pope, they also were fighting to struggle for that. In the end, everyone practically was killed, fighting over the stone. And it was between that young monk and this crazy crusader who was sent by the Pope, who always tell people to give their life up so that they could have a place in heaven. Like the extremist ISIS, extreme Muslim. If you die a martyr, you have 72 virgins waiting for you. But the young man was so fed up seeing that all, so many of them died. People died just because of this stone. He finally was struggling with that man, the crusader, that he threw him overboard together with that stone. And they both died inside. Left this young monk alone, who realized at that last moment, this was just a piece of stone. But people worship relic, a bone of Peter, St. Peter, and all this. What value is this? It's all just man's imagination. Like it was in the days of Moses. When the people in the camp rebelled against God and sang, God sent poisonous snakes throughout the camp and beat them, and they were dying. But God had mercy on them. Asked Moses to make a serpent, a bronze serpent, and hang it upon the pole, and those who look upon it will be healed, right? What happened after a few hundred years down the road? They found this brazen serpent on the pole, and they wanted to worship it. You just want to worship it. There's no power in that. That was a symbolism. When God told Moses to make this serpent, brazen serpent, and hang it upon the pole, that was supposed to symbolize the power of healing in Christ Jesus, who died upon the pole. So everyone who turned and looked at the pole, they were healed, symbolizing that. And that is a one-time thing. Because God had many symbols for the people to understand, to look to the future, the Messiah will come and fulfill all of that symbol. But now, they want to worship it. But then it was destroyed by the good king. So you see, the point here is this. When God gives a prophecy, when the truth is there, you have to embrace it. And so Esau despised the birthright. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. So what he say here? Brother Henry, will you read it aloud?
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
Mm-hmm. That's profanity. Despising his birthright, God called it profanity. Now, every one of us who are Christian, born again, who are Christian, we have this birthright. If any time we despise it, we are a profane person. And Jesus said, if you love your life, you will lose it. You see, a lot of people say, I'm afraid to die. I don't want to have my head cut off. You know, if you are taken by some extremist, want to cut your hair off because you're a Christian, go. Go for it. Head's gone. You'll find yourself in another dimension. You know? Rather than to save your life, and how long can you live on this earth? And forever you lose your salvation because you have profaned it. Is that right? What the Bible said, Jesus said, if anyone confess me before man, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before man, Jesus said, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. It doesn't mean that I'm a Christian, you know, but you deny me. You save your life, you lose it. You know how many people died under the hand of some fanatics around the world all year round? Since the day when religion was a big thing, everybody is fighting over religion. As I said this, every war that is fought, they are fought on religious ground. Men's ideology, men's opinion. Yes, big or small. And here it was, in verse 33 of Genesis 25. Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And Esau sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Yeah, lentil, huh? Red has to be red beans anyway. Come from lentil. So, of course, these are what you sum your birthright. You said that you sum it. Say, swear it. And in those days, your word is as good as you, huh? Not today, you say, I'll do it, but you never do it. Today, a lot of lies are going on. But those days, a word is a word. You are what you are. If you lie, then you are a really typical liar and ought to be killed. And sometimes you need to fight over that. See? So what we are looking at here is that we look at from the womb of Rebekah came forth two sons, Esau and Jacob. The character was so different. One looked to the earthly wealth, earthly sustenance of the body. When food is more required than profit, than wealth, than inheritance. But Jacob, no. Jacob looked for those things that are far, far ahead. Something that was promised by God. Something that is heavenly. What are you looking for, my brother and sister? What are you looking for on this earth? Like the song said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up way beyond the blue. Right. What do we have here on this earth? Well, let's say you have $1 million in the bank. Okay. You have a $10 million properties. Maybe you have a nice big car, maybe two. So what then? You eat nice food, perhaps. Every day you go out there to the a five-star hotel and eat a buffet. What then? And when you suddenly collapse and die, in a moment you got a heart pain and you got you struggling. You say, "Huh? I've got what's gonna do with my money?" What are you going to do with the money? Your car, your house, what are you going to do with it? Can I carry it along with me? Can I carry it? Can I bring them with me? You can't. You know, a lot of people, when the moment they are about to die, that's a lot of things going through. Now you go home and think about it. Count your money in the bank. See how much you have and what you can do with it. And many of us in Singapore, your bank account plus your property, you're almost a millionaire. Don't tell me you're not. But what are you going to do with that? What's this money for? That's the reason why your tithes and offering comes into the box here. We make use of it. We don't put it in the bank like some churches. They put it in the bank, invest in pop song, and invest in this, invest in that. What for? We use the money to help spread the word of God in other countries. Right? That's the purpose. That's the word. That's the reason why you give to God. For what purpose? Because you freely receive the truth from God. You freely give it up. That's why we don't charge for our books. Now, people wrote books. Some Christian people wrote books and then they put on sale. $30, $40. And said, these are messages from God. Really? The Bible said, that which come from God, they are free. The only thing that the price has already been paid, and that was paid by Christ Jesus in His death. So freely we receive, freely we give it out. Because when I die, I'm not able to take it with me. The only thing who benefit when I die, my son and my daughter and my wife. Right? Sure, isn't it? You see? So what is the value of your life? Let's continue here, and then we close. In chapter 26, in the first verse, there he gives you the answer that there was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Amalek, king of Philistine, into Jarrah. So, I want you to know that this event happened because there was a trial. And Esau finally, in this instant, it shows the character, the very nature, and the spirit of Esau. When it was testing time, and you know one thing, there was one statement that Brother Brian made. He said this, it's testing time by faith. We are living in the world now, there's so much testing. So that's your faith. Hold you up. Every time there is a trial and a testing, that's your faith. Hold you up. And say that, what I have is true. What I have is true. See? Otherwise, then you don't have an experience with the Lord. You understand what I'm saying, huh? Okay. Let's go to Isaiah. One verse here. Let me just go to Isaiah with you and we'll close on this one. Isaiah 66. Verse 10 to 11. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that ye may milk her and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Now, these two verses ends the book of Isaiah. Fury regarding this city, Jerusalem. The world's focus now is in the Middle East. What's happening right there? But at the same time, because of the problem of America, alright, because of the administration, the thing that was going on, a lot of fake news. You know, you read in the news about Russia interfering with the election, American election, and everything like that. Are they really real? That there was interference, there was some hacking going on? Are they real? And all this about North Korea and the thing that America was saying, what's going on? Huh. So, the day will come when the people will face, will look towards Israel, look at Jerusalem for what she represents. And the Bible tells us that Jerusalem will become the light of the world. The one place that truth will have come out from, like it was originally. Jerusalem was the place that Adam was there. It was not called Jerusalem then. Jerusalem was a place that Abraham was there to sacrifice his son Isaac. Do you know? Jerusalem was the place that Jesus Christ died. Huh? Isn't all this a coincidence? Or was it the plan of God to have a place where things will come forth and things will end in the same place? That's what the Bible said, that Jesus Christ will rule from Jerusalem. And I pray you understand it. And as Isaiah said, let us suck the milk from Jerusalem. Why do we talk about sucking the milk from the breast of Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is prefigured as a woman. And it is from Jerusalem that where all these, you know what milks are, right? Milk is. It's a nutrient. It's a nourishment. It's something that when a child is born, first thing that the child does is to suck the breast of the mama, right? To get the nutrients. You see. And here we are today. This Bible, to me, is like New Jerusalem too. It's the milk of God, and it's also the meat of God as well. Amen? And like as experience, that is true. As I said, Brother Yunfong was saying, if you have no experience with the living God, if you don't experience reality, you'll find yourself hard to identify. When that song came into my mind, I mean, it wasn't came to my mind already, I was in the shower. And I just want to worship God. And I just opened my mouth. And that song just came in 5 minutes. You see, that was just an experience that I had. And the same thing is, that's why I said, if we live the life of Christ, and you're constantly in contact with Christ, not that every second you're in contact, I don't mean that. Huh? I mean, you have to do your work, of course, right? You study and things like that. But you are in contact, you know, whenever you're free, you just whisper to the Lord and find the reality of God with you. Then you can have this identification that God is alive. That my God is real. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Bless thy word too, Lord Father. And teach us thy way, Lord. Grant us, Father, revelation and understanding to the things that we learn, Father. And that you bless thy word now. And bless all that have heard the truth. And pray for those also that will go on the internet to learn. We commit this to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.